The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Good to be with you, as always. What kind of a man has 12 kids? That's the question today that we're going to tackle. 866. Just kidding. I don't want you to call in. A good man, a godly man, a smart man, a busy man.
A more man.
More of a man. More of a man than somebody, for example, that only has four kids. Is that what you're getting at?
Why didn't you have more?
Okay, so this is Steve Noble, as you know. And then Steve Lewis, back in the house, LA Capital Advisors.
It's been a long time.
It's been a long time.
You must be wanting ratings.
Wow. So you're a little punchy today. So, Steve, a little background here. Steve and I have been friends with our wives as well, Gina. On my side, Thea on Steve's side, praise the Lord. And so when did we first meet? So I was doing radio, and you were doing your own radio show on the Truth Radio Network.
The Financial Greenhouse
show. The Financial Greenhouse. Were you doing that on Saturdays?
Yes.
So this goes way back to the studio that was in North Raleigh.
At the PNC building now?
Yeah, it's like a bank. There was a bank downstairs. Right. And so that's back. That we might be talking 2014, 2015. I went into syndication in 2016, then I switched studios and went downtown Raleigh, then came back, blah, blah, blah. So then we did some Money Monday stuff together.
We did.
Which was 2015, 2014, something like that.
Yes.
So we've been friends for a long time. Why are we still friends?
Because of our wives.
Because of our wives. Very good answer. So Steve and I
really can't stand you. I mean, it's
right. Well, I mean, who can?
Your wife is nice, but you've
got
the problem.
We all right.
I
mean, we all have
I will always conduct
qualities.
Myself as a gentleman on that sign.
Right, that's from Iron Academy.
Are you kidding me?
As a gentleman, live pure,
you?
Speak true, right,
oh
wrong,
gosh.
And follow the king or your wife,
the stuff,
if she happens
the
to
stuff
be.
Stuff you did last time we got together at your house. Are you kidding me? Jeez.
This is Steve Lewis, LA Capital Advisors, a dear friend of mine, a brother in Christ. Believe it or not, I'll testify to the fact that he's actually born again. Great wife, 12 kids, four. By the end of this year, four of your kids will be married, which means you're batting 333, which makes you a lot of money in the Major League Baseball Players Association or whatever. So that's good. And so it's good to have you back on. It has been too long, so please forgive me.
It
we
has.
Won't wait as long next time.
Has it been 2 years?
It might have
it
been.
It had to have been.
Well, it was COVID. You know,
I didn't want to risk 2020.
So anyway, Steve, cards on the table. So you guys know David Fisher, and David's on Mondays. And so and David Fisher is a wonderful blessing. He helps us, the Noble family, when it comes to some of our diversification into precious metals. Steve handles the rest. So he's not like just some dude that's a friend of mine that happens to be a financial advisor and an excellent one at that. He actually assists the Noble family. Okay, so there, all my cards are on the table. But Steve is brilliant, and we have to make sure we cage that.
And you don't help me whatsoever.
Right, I don't help you whatsoever. No. That's not my job.
It's a nice arrangement.
And when you start slipping into financial speak or too many acronyms, I'll politely interrupt you. Is that all right? Is that, are we good with that? Okay, so let's actually try to get serious. So, well, here's what we want to do today with Steve is kind of look at kind of where we have been coming out of Trump's presidency and then going into Biden and the stock market. Man, we were all so happy. 2020 rocking. I mean, everybody's making money all over the place, whether you have a small account or a medium-sized account or a big-sized account. Then you got Biden coming in. And I remember we were talking about that at the time. Steve's politically astute as well. And we have these conversations a lot just about worldview things and in politics as well as the financial world. And then we get into the Biden administration. It's been a crazy 2.5 years. Is it the 2.5 years you would have expected coming out of Trump and into Biden?
No, I was hoping that he would have been a moderate when he was a senator.
Right.
I mean, he was pretty quiet behind the scenes with President Obama, so you really can't dictate or think about what he would do or
right.
think.
Right.
Then we've seen him in the captain's chair, as you said. And there was a sense of optimism. I mean, at least half the country, if you take those votes as legitimate.
Right.
And Okay. And so
there you go.
What happened after that is just a slow bleed beginning in the fall of September of last year.
Yeah.
When we began to see the lag time after the executive actions on energy that it's come back and haunted us. I mean, economics 101 is that if you increase the cost of the transportation of goods,
right,
you're going to see the difference.
Everything else is going to train wreck
at the point of sale.
Right.
Right, and then everything else just collapsed from there, from trade and different things of that nature.
And so whenever, and he does it regularly, whenever Biden blames Putin for everything, because the question today on for the title of the show is it's Biden's stock market question mark, he likes to think it's Vladimir Putin's stock market.
Well, we're on a lot of conference calls, with a lot of mutual fund companies and et cetera, and no one believes that. No, that doesn't come up anywhere.
Yeah.
Even reading the numerous comments on these WebExes and different things that we are part of, it was all based on those executive actions. You know, we were an energy exporter.
Yeah.
And now it's just the opposite. You know, sure, Ukraine didn't help in terms of materials and fertilizers and some grain in there, but oil had nothing to do with it. So there's some companies that have done well on the stock market since Ukraine. Albemarle, for example, special chemicals and fertilizers and things. And
really niche things that are specific to that region at this time.
Yeah, there's wheat, ETF, WEAT, ironically enough. But, you know, so there's some things of that nature that has some people have tried to take advantage of. But overall, it all starts with energy. Everything starts with energy. There isn't really supply chain issues so much. We've had, of course, regulations with shipping. And out there out west in Long Beach, certain things like that, and truckers, a new law in California with the truckers and how old their truck is, and things of that nature. So there's been a lot of things that doesn't make the media that we hear on these calls from analysts. And so our job is just to, you know, really hindsight, we should have gone into cash in September. But our algorithm was such that it was giving us different signals. You still had a good Q3 GDP.
Yeah, we were looking good at the end
good
of that
Q4
year.
Q4 yep. GDP. Unemployment was falling. Participation rate was rising. We had all these basic fundamentals that
were
all
good. Looked good.
It all looked fine until the quarter one GDP came out in March. And there's always two revisions following that.
Right.
And it kept revised twice downward.
Down.
Now, on the 29th of this month, we have quarter two GDP. As you and I were talking before the show, if that is not good,
right,
it's going to be a train wreck.
It's going to be a big train wreck, a big mess in the stock market. Lots of red, and I don't see that ending anytime soon. Biden likes to think. Remember they said it was transitory, Steve. This inflation
Correct.
Thing's transitory. It's not. It's a train wreck, and it's going to be here for a while.
Well, Yellen got it wrong.
Yeah, Yellen got it wrong again. Let me just add that caveat. There's a lot to unpack here, but we're going to look for some help as well as we move forward, so that we can all be better stewards. We'll be right back.
Oh, angel said.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Here today with my buddy Steve Lewis, LA Capital Advisors, LACapitalAdvisors.com is his website. And we've been friends for years, have done some radio together. He actually helps the Noble family out with our investments. And so I trust him. And that's why he's in here, besides being my brother in Christ. And so we're just trying to get a handle on understanding what in the world's going on with this crazy stock market starting at the end of the Trump era and then into the Biden era, which we are hopeful, thinking maybe it's the Joe Biden from years gone by, and he's a moderate, but he's anything but uber liberal. And then they're obviously trying to transpose the entire economy into their Green New Deal, which means you got to train wreck the energy system as it is now. And you said this on the break. That's their worldview. If this world is all you have, then you got to save it. Right. So we got to be a champion. We got to save it. I actually think that's how they justify themselves. If they're not going to go to Christ for justification, they got to turn to themselves. And this is the way that they can pat themselves on the back by, in their mind, thinking they're going to save the world. Same thing with the Great Reset people and the World Economic Forum. They're all the same, essentially lost. And so we shouldn't be surprised by any of that. But when he turns around and hits the stock market and our investments and our savings and us trying to get to the point where we're people that can retire, man, it's been just a wild ride. Have you ever seen anything like this in all your years doing this?
When I got in the industry in 2001, the tech industry was pretty bad.
Boom.
It was about 232 negative trading days in 2 years.
Oh, gosh.
It was just a long bleed.
Yeah.
TARP was quite easy. That dip was easy. We got out there. COVID was easy. I mean, Helen Keller could have seen the dips.
Right.
I mean, it was pretty. Sure. It was pretty easy to see.
Yeah.
This was a different. And you know, it's a combination of a sideways market. We have an 18. Remember, 18 was pretty sideways.
Yeah.
And the Feds raised rates four times because the economy was so good.
Right.
And no inflation.
Right.
Well, here they've done it four times because the economy is bad and because it's a tough thing to understand why they would do those types of things. I know Trump was quite upset with the Fed chairman
sure.
at that time.
Yeah.
And so we're riding this wave right now and trying to find where the dip is. And what we're concerned about is the upcoming announcements in the next couple of weeks. And just hoping for some good news.
So what's coming out? Speaking of the announcements, what are we looking
for?
Well,
the 29th, they're going to have their gross domestic product number. Last month, it came back negative 1.2, I believe, in that range, and it was revised down. There's always two revisions following the initial
right.
announcements.
Which always
and
makes
those,
me.
And those came down, but you don't hear about the revisions.
Right. You just hear the first one because that gets all the news.
Sure. And then we have the federal rate. Chairman Powell is going to announce an increase. And as of this morning, the consensus is 75 basis points. Probably not 1.00, but 75 basis points.
Yeah. And GDP most likely is going to show negative.
Well, who really knows?
Because they're going
to. Who really knows? If
because they know if it shows negative. Now you get two quarters of negative, which means officially the big R, recession.
Well,
the Atlanta Fed's already said, yeah, we're in a recession. But.
Well, the Fed chairman and the consensus of the folks that we speak to, in the back of their mind, they want it to be a recession, so it justifies their late coming to the table with the interest rate increases
right.
because people thought this should have taken place last fall.
Right, a year ago.
And so they've been under a lot of criticism for raising these rates too late to the party, so to speak.
But there are some people out there, you mentioned this before, that are actually saying, oh yeah, we're just about at the bottom. What's your reaction to that?
I was hoping for some good news last week on the month over month called MOM, we call it that, on the CPI, the consumer price index, and it didn't.
Oh.
It jumped.
Yeah, it got worse.
If it was just below that or in the 7.1, 7.0, or 6.8, it would have been a good recovery in that sense. Because we are seeing some pretty good movement in the consumer staples products, and that's what we've been kind of putting people in. Even Investors Business Daily utters a lot of the same stuff we talk about. It's interesting. Is that people are still buying things. They're still
sure.
living their lives.
Sure.
But they're trying to find ways around these things. Theaters are up. People, anxiety are high.
Yeah,
they're looking,
that's right.
They want to deviate from reality
yeah.
for a couple hours. They're going to the movies.
Get me out of here, right.
Netflix posted 960,000 lower subscribers yesterday.
Yeah.
And the market retracted 600 points just because of that. So it's all over the place. Monday was opened up at 300. And because of what Apple indicated, we're going to reduce our labor, reduce our production. It retracted 650 points. Goldman Sachs reported good numbers. That's what jumped the market. And
yeah.
then they added their reducing labor as well. And that added to the Apple's numbers. And then so yesterday, oh, boom, it jumps up 800 points. And
yeah,
there's a headline
crazy.
On CNBC that institutional investors feel that we're at the bottom. There's no basis for that.
Yeah, so what drives that? When they do that kind of stuff.
I think they're just begging to write an article.
Because when you told me that, I was like, what? How can they possibly say that?
Right. I don't really know. But we're seeing a lot of opportunities I mentioned, like Kellogg's, General Mills, Kraft Heinz, Costco, Walmart, some of these staples places, and they're paying really good dividends. So we're buying some of those with some of the cash, but we're going in very, very cautiously. We're going in, averaging in slowly and seeing where those things
yeah,
come
be very
in.
Careful.
Yeah, but most are still in cash.
Because if you buy what MSNBC is selling and you're like, okay, it's time to buy, and 6 months from now, you could be in a real world of hurt.
Well, Barron's Investment News, it's a periodical that comes out every week. They're so pro-market. And really, puts it in there. But we're seeing a lot of the institutional investors going back in more than we've seen before. Mm-hmm. So there is some movement on the institutional side. High net worth folks going back in, probably looking at some buying opportunities and so forth. And some good news on semiconductors. The Senate passed a semiconductor
funding
bill.
Yeah, what was the deal with that?
They're just going to be putting some more money in chip making because we're too reliant on China, which is something Trump always said.
Yeah.
And couldn't get it passed.
Imagine that.
Yeah. So
which is why it takes you a year to get a car, things
yeah.
like that.
So Taiwan has a good ETF, exchange traded fund, TSM. So it has some pretty good things in there. And
but those are, would you say those good buys in the stock market right now, G-O-O-D-B-U-Y, good buys in the stock market are Like finding a needle in a haystack?
Yes. Again, then you have to think of the announcements, because the NASDAQ does not like increased rates announcements. They always get upset with that. And so that's why we're holding off and really being careful in the next couple of weeks. I mean, if it's decent news, say one over the other, we don't want to see the negative GDP. So if we have a good...
Right. That's going to be bad.
I mean, they're both are going to, you know, if you add those two together, an increased rate plus the GDP negative. However, if it's increased rate and a positive GDP, then that's going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
It'll give us the momentum there to see some things. But you got to go in. If you're out, you got to go in slowly.
Yeah, and being out for most people is cash.
Right.
But unfortunately, we were talking about this before, and I want to make sure everybody understands this. Should everybody be asking their broker? Who's talking to me? What is that? Did you hear that? Apple what? That's really obnoxious. should everybody with a stockbroker or a financial advisor be asking them about, hey, what about having some of my portfolio in cash?
It's very rare. I've seen a number of people in the office with advisors from Fidelity and so forth. And one I saw, unfortunately, back in early April, he was already down 31%.
Wow.
And I said, hey, you know, you got to get this thing in cash. And so he talked to him. And I texted him a couple weeks later. He says, that's their position. They don't sell into cash. I said, but your money. And he says, well, you know.
Yeah, well, you know. And that's the challenge now. We've talked about this for as long as you and I have done some radio together. This isn't your grandfather's stock market.
It's, well, the investment advisors are in the same thing before the last segment. They're using third-party money managers, and they have no autonomy.
Right.
And the client does not know that.
Yeah. Yeah, so they're kind of like puppets.
Right.
Right.
They are. They are literally.
Yeah, literally puppets with your money. We'll pick it up there with Steve Lewis. Guess that tune. Can you guess that tune? Do you know who it is? You'll know it in a second.
There's a man going around taking names.
Grayson, you're killing me. Did you know that song?
No.
Johnny Cash, man.
Come okay. On.
Got to get with it. Welcome to the Steve Noble Show, built for overachievers by overachievers. Kind of like the C4 energy drink that my good friend Steve Lewis brought into the studio
and
today.
And the Pete's coffee
in the official Steve Noble Show
right
coffee mug. Yeah, so you're all jacked up and ready to go, and that's good. Steve Lewis, just been a blessing to our family on a brother-to-brother level, on a friend level, and as somebody that helps us out financially, as a financial advisor level. Steve Lewis, LACapitalAdvisors.com. Is that because you're an L.A. kind of guy? You were born in California, right?
It's Lewis
You're
and Associates.
Santa Barbara?
Get it right.
Oh, yeah, sorry about that. LACapitalAdvisors.com is Steve's website. And this is kind of funny when we're talking about, in this kind of environment that we're in, the stock market, not pretty, very challenging times, probably a recession, lots of inflation. We haven't seen this type of a mess since, 1981? It's been 40 years. And now we're talking about alternatives to try to get your boat out of the wild waves of what's going on in the market. And then you're looking at things that most people don't ever consider. And this sounds so old-fashioned. Cash, and then like bonds, and even CDs. I don't know that anybody under the age of 45 even knows what a CD is. So but why are we talking about things like this? Because it sounds really old-fashioned.
Well, rising rates do have their advantages, right? We mentioned bond funds. Well, you get a nice dividend. I mean, BlackRock's short treasury, which is about as exciting as watching a snail move across the driveway, is paying just under a 10 dividend right now.
And that's phenomenal.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Before all of this, it was a 3.1.
Yeah, you wouldn't even pay any attention to it.
Now, when we get a rate increase, these things will normally take a retraction in price. Now, they're not highly deviated equities. They're pretty balanced. I mean, when the regulators look at these types of things,
yeah, they're not going, wah,
Barclays Aggregate Bond Index, these types of things, they want to, and that's a conservative investment for them
very.
To see. They want to see those things. And so right now, people are chasing dividends, but you know, when the dividend goes up, the price of the bond will come down. So the TIP will fall a little bit, and it always recovers from this. It has since the second week in June when we started to see this trend line going up. And so we're putting a lot of our accounts in types of bonds like that. Vanguard's got a good one and different things of that nature. And then we're chasing dividends from Kellogg's and General Mills.
For your average investor, based on what we've seen in the last 5 or 6 years, which have been largely good, are they just kind of like, huh? Is it confusing? Because we're in an environment, like I said, we haven't seen since 1981, for goodness sakes.
A lot of people don't remember 1981 or 79.
Right. Too long ago.
Right.
But brutal.
Yes.
But that's when you really have to get aggressive in your conservatism. Is that right?
Right.
And so bonds. And then what about CDs? I mean, like, are we talking like a bank CD?
Well, they used to be called certificates of disappointment. That was another name for them. But now, in a 2 year, you can get a 3.5 in 2 years.
Really?
A 1 year is 1.6. You can get a 1 year and 1.6, a 6 month and 1.6 right now.
And if your investment portfolio is down 30% this year, which is a good chance it is, a 1.5% increase over 6 months or a year looks pretty darn good, right?
Oh, yeah. They've got
at least safe.
A lot of people are still sitting in cash from 08.
Wow.
Believe it. I've got some clients who haven't moved since 08. They're still in the banks. Corporate bonds are paying a coupon of 3.5 to 5.5, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
And if you're in a high tax state, then your tax-free municipal bonds are a good option.
Should everybody be conservative right now in terms of their personal investing, or is that a sliding scale as usual with age?
If the client knows that you are managing the account on their best interest, the client doesn't really care. If that makes sense?
That's because
the buy and hold,
in your world, you're a fiduciary. It's a big word.
Well, and
you have to act in your client's best
interest.
That
is loosely used.
Yeah.
Even with the folks we talked about who use these third parties. But they're still buy and holding these people.
Right.
No different. If you're a buy and hold person, if that's the strategy of your advisor, which they should all ask. If they haven't been put in cash now and they weren't in cash in COVID, I don't know what to say. But then you need to really nail it down and stick with it. I mean, a typical bond fund, really. If you look at the annualized return of the S&P in the last 20 years, from January 2000 to December of last year, the annualized legitimate geometrical average of the S&P, it's 5.36.
Yeah, wow.
It's not as sexy as it comes across.
No.
Because, again, we're all talking about total return. On the way home, oh, the market's down 22. No, it's worse than that.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
So all these graphs in front of you is all total return stuff. But it does give you some trend lines to look at. And you'll see here that, the only thing that's up is energy. Everything, all the other 10 sectors are below the mean of the S&P. I mean, that's how bad it is.
Yeah, I'm looking at the chart. There's zero, which is the mean.
And
every one of these sectors.
And information technology, it's carried us the last 5 years.
S&P 500.
Is the worst one in the bunch right now.
Yeah, it's a train wreck. S&P 500, communication services, consumer discretionary, consumer staples, energy, that's the one that's up above the line, financials, healthcare, information technology, materials, industrials, real estate, utilities, all in the tank.
Right.
All of them.
Right.
Literally.
Right.
And so how do you find anything in the regular stock world that's worth investing
in? I'm going to lose people
right
on this one, but we went ahead and shorted the Dow. Meaning I can buy an exchange-traded fund that I gain what the Dow loses.
Right.
It's called short.
So when you short it, you are playing the opposite. So we use it buy low, sell high.
Right.
No, and you short, you go the opposite direction.
Right. And so we did that with folks with taxable accounts who can't sweep without paying a tax
to
buoy what they might be losing on the other side. And so it's helped a lot in stabilizing the losses. We've seen that at this point because, you know, we're still trying to stop the hemorrhaging.
Yeah,
a little bit, because something comes out and you don't know where it's going to go.
Should we, as your average investor, and most of the people listening to this show are probably there's very few wealthy people. There's very few people that are actually rich. Most of us are just kind of average. Should we be as concerned as you sound with respect to our investment? Where's your retirement money? Should we really be really pretty active right now and asking a lot of questions? We've talked about this over the years that, hey, if you're not usually asking tough questions of your broker or your advisor, this isn't 1985 anymore. You don't just buy and hold and leave it alone. And Dave Ramsey, you're going to get 10% every year no matter what hits the fan. And now it sounds like we should all be much more involved and much more concerned. I don't want to sound paranoid.
I don't think people know to ask because they think that's the norm.
Wow.
They got that maybe from their father and their grandfather.
Yeah.
You just kind of hold on to Microsoft until Jesus comes back.
Right.
And that's a lot, very, very, very true, very common. But with today's volatility, and there's so many more things to work with.
Yeah,
they didn't have exchange-traded funds back then. There's more companies involved that you can trade with over in Europe and China. We didn't have those 30 years ago. You had the Dow 30.
Yeah, that was it.
Standard & Poor's 500. And that obviously is switching out. So many things to work with now. But they should be asking the questions. But they're afraid to or intimidated to. I don't know what it is. But But still, we've had people in cash for 50% for most of the year. And numerically, I look at their statements, and somehow that what's still in the market is falling.
Yeah.
And that to us, it bothers us. I mean, we are at the office as early as 6. We can early start trading at 4 a.m.
Wow.
More stocks come on board at 6. More come on at 8:30. Then everything is on board at 9:30. So we get in a little early to try to stay ahead of some of the trend lines. But, you know, we've seen trend lines look bullish at 6 a.m. in the morning and open up, you know, like what happened?
Right, yeah.
I just went to the bathroom and it's down.
Yeah, big, you know, mess. What,
yeah, so it's really been
How much is the institutional side driving things? Just automatic trading?
Oh, they drive it all the time.
All the time.
Oh, yeah.
Based on what, though? It's just their algorithms?
Well, timing. A lot of it is I wouldn't say insider trading, but they'll run a price up.
You know what we should do? We should just find out what Nancy Pelosi and her husband are doing.
Yeah, she was asked a question recently. What her husband bought? Was it a semiconductor thing?
It was something ahead of the semiconductor law.
Yeah, the Senate bill. Yeah,
and he bought a bunch just ahead of it, like a week ago.
Yeah.
Like,
But
I don't know that anybody in the swamp's ever going to get busted for any of that stuff, unless it's Trump or Steve Bannon or somebody like that.
Richard Burke was caught up in that little bit,
right?
Too.
Like right,
50,000 or something.
Yeah,
all that for 50,000.
Yeah, nothing compared to the Pelosi's, who are like Bernie Madoff. I guess it's really unbelievable.
Yeah,
is there anything that the Biden administration can do? What would you advise them to do?
I would go back to what Trump had on energy and stick with it until the clean energy has more momentum. I mean, they were talking about, you know, what is it on Fox I saw this morning? The average EV is $66,000.
Yeah. And somebody was pointing that out in a Senate hearing, I think.
Yes.
Or with a Buttigieg.
Yes.
Telling them,
right.
It's you know, like, if you charge four cars, it's going to cost you more. It's cheaper to just run the air conditioning. It was something like that. They put it into real simple terms.
Well, you have another EV company being built in Carrboro, VinFast, you know, coming in, and they're going to be right there in Carrboro and Pittsboro. 7,700 jobs are going to be created.
Wow, really?
They've got 1,200 apartments
electric
being built.
Vehicle
oh, yeah.
Company.
And
wow.
they're not an IPO yet. They're not a major player. But you have a lot of Niall Lee. You have Tesla.
They're getting in there.
Everybody's getting in there. We're all pretty shocked about Toyota.
Why?
And still making hybrids.
Oh.
And not leading that field.
Interesting.
And that is kind of interesting for
Toyota. Well, that's emerging technology. I want to talk about that. And I want to, on the break, I'm going to get Steve. We're going to write down some questions that any of us should absolutely be asking in this type of environment when it comes to your retirement, when it comes to your investments. This is Steve Noble with Steve Lewis, LACapitalAdvisors.com. We'll be right back. How about that? Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, here with my buddy Steve Lewis today. LACapitalAdvisors.com is the website, LACapitalAdvisors.com. By the way, if you want to talk to Steve yourself, you can email him, S. Lewis at LACapitalAdvisors.com is his email address. S. Lewis at LACapitalAdvisors.com. If you have questions, you want to follow up or find out, you know, get some parenting tips on how do you raise 12 kids. You can always do that. Although, will you just push them over to Thea, or how will you handle that? Like, who's the brains of the operation
Thea.
When it comes to parenting?
Thea's the brains, period.
Period. Except for this. She doesn't have a clue when it comes to the financial things. That's all you.
But everything else is her. She helps when I write the articles.
She's an excellent writer.
She's a really good writer.
Yeah,
which is cool. She throws a lot.
And those are really helpful. I really appreciate your emails. You kick them out pretty regularly. And even for an average-minded bloke like myself, it makes a lot of sense. Helps me to understand the madness of what's going on around me so I don't freak out. That's been really helpful.
Oh, okay.
So thanks for those.
You are welcome.
I was wondering if you were going to say you're welcome. That's a nice change of pace. Anyway, let's talk about Steve and I are pretty good friends, in case you can't tell. Let's talk about PPI.
PPI, Producer Price Index. That's the Wholesale Price Index.
Because we have inflation that we all know about.
Right.
It's 8.1%. It's 9.1%. But then there's the PPI, which is actually worse.
Well, we can't until the PPI comes down.
Producer Price Index. What
right.
they're paying.
What they're paying.
To create the things that we
is
buy.
Not. Our Consumer Price Index, CPI, is not going to move until that starts moving
right.
down.
Right. Which makes perfect sense.
Here it is right here. You can go on Yardini.com and pull this report up anytime you want.
Yardini.com.
Yes. And so you
he's a smart dude.
You can see that it's what, 11%?
Yes. Total is 11.3%.
Right.
Which is worse than what we're thinking.
And divided up. What are those two categories?
Yeah. Then you got goods, which is up 17.9%.
Yes.
So they're paying 17.9%.
Services
more.
Is just under 8.
7.7%.
Right.
And you add that together and you get, ouch.
Yes.
So all that stuff then flows downhill to us.
Right.
So if theirs goes up, ours goes up.
Right.
And ours ain't going down until theirs goes down.
Well, truth be told, though, there's a lot of people raising prices because they can.
Because they can't.
Right.
Do we call that price gouging?
There's a lot of industries that's not related to this.
That are just taking advantage of
this. Right.
Situation.
Like services, online services and things. They're just jacking it because they can.
Because they can.
Right.
So we need to be on the lookout for
right.
that. We need to all be kind of paranoid and a little defensive right now.
Yeah. That's why services really.
Not nearly as bad.
7%. Yeah, but it shouldn't even be that high.
Right. Because online services aren't using diesel and trucks. And
right.
But Amazon, when you're buying product and guess what? How do you think that Amazon guy gets to your front door?
Exactly. We had two packages today.
They come by planes, trains, and automobiles. And all those things run on, sorry, AOC, gas and diesel, which is why the energy sector is such a big deal.
They have a drone service in Holly Springs right now.
Do they really?
Dropping food off now.
Get out of here.
Up to 2 miles away now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Jetsons.
Big old thing. It's huge.
That's nutty. So what would change? Is there anything you can look at out of the horizon that would see the producer price index start to flatten and then to actually come down?
Well, if gasoline levels off, and seems to be, then this number month over month will start getting smaller.
Yeah.
But our sustained price at the checkout is going to be the same. So that's how we have to look at it.
Because
that.
There's a lag there.
Yeah, right now there's some lag in this category right here. And so what is
it? Do the manufacturers put anything out? Are they saying, here's what we think is going to happen in the second half of 2022?
Nope.
They don't go there?
Nope. Nope, because they're missing it.
Yeah.
Because they have their own projections to worry about.
Right.
So they are backing off on their projections, and we're going to lowball it here, and they look good the next quarter.
But if Biden wanted to do that, and I asked you this question earlier, if you're going to tell Biden to do anything, it's reenact the Trump energy policy.
Yeah.
Period.
And his approval numbers will go right up.
Yeah. Drill, baby, drill. Yeah. Fracking, offshore, yep. Everything. Right. Get all the regulations out of the way because they're like, oh, we've got leases available. Blah, blah. It's not the lease that's the problem. It's all the regulations that you have to crawl through once you get the lease.
Correct.
And yeah, they just shut all that down.
Yeah, they seized the private lands and said authorize federal lands. Well, then they won't allow the federal permits to go through.
Right.
That was exactly how he did it.
Yeah.
He took criticism for going federal lands in the Gulf and out there in the waters, but he's not allowing anything to get drilled out there.
Right. So they can say we're making leases available.
Right.
But it's like, hey, I'll sell you a car. Cool. When can I take possession? 24 months.
Yes.
So the fact that I sold you a car is irrelevant.
Right.
What really matters is when can I actually get it and do anything with it? And so that's really the whole thing. But again, we talked about this earlier. You just keep your eye. Now, will all this change come November? Because the Republicans are going to take the House. We'll see if they take the Senate. But even if they take the House, they neuter Biden.
Correct.
But they can't turn around and affect all the stupid executive action he's taken.
Right.
But I don't know. Are you paying attention to that, the political side of it, and what happens in November?
Right now, I'm not. I'm just concerned with what's in front of us.
Yeah, with what's going on right now.
Yeah, nothing else keeps. A lot keeps me up at night now. I mean, because we're in there as early as 4.
Right, yeah, that's crazy.
And we're there until almost 8.
Just trying to minimize the damage.
Well, extended trading allows us to trade up until 7:57 p.m.
Wow.
So we just want to see really what the momentum swings are going after that, you know.
So that might be a good question to ask the people that the rest of everybody hires to watch their money is, how much time are you actually spending watching my money? I mean, is this a full-time job or is it not?
Well, there's a lot of advisors who oversee a lot of firms. This happened in our neighborhood. Thea and I were walking our dogs and ran into a guy fairly new to the neighborhood. He oversees a big firm, and they use RBC Bank as their third party. And so we were both chit-chatting a little bit while my wife was talking to his wife and stuff. And he's been in the business for a lot longer than I have. And I told him about the extended trading hours. And he said, looked at me and said, oh, I didn't know the market was open 24 hours. That's not what I said, but he thought you can't start trading till 9:30. I said, do you not execute any trades? He says, no, RBC does it all for us.
And that's the problem.
Yeah, and I sat next to a guy who trades with Raymond James at Perry Steakhouse. Same thing. Large book. Good 9 figures.
Wow.
And hasn't sold anything.
Nothing.
No. His firm's down $120 million, and he said the clients haven't said anything.
Whatever.
And I said, so why are you at this meeting? First Trust was putting on the dinner. And he said, oh, I'm here because it's a free dinner.
Right, it's a free meal.
But I said, you don't have any authority? I said, no, Raymond James.
They do everything. And all right, so that takes us to.
So it's very common, though. It's sad. It's very common.
Talking to Steve Lewis again, LA Capital Advisors, LACapitalAdvisors.com is his website. By the way, if you want to email Steve and have a conversation, that's entirely up to you. His email is slewis@LACapitalAdvisors.com. So let's finish with this. What are some questions that people should be asking their broker advisor just to kind of see where they're at in this crazy volatile environment that we're in?
I think they should ask them, what autonomy do you have? I mean, I'm looking at you across the desk.
Can you actually make a trade?
Can you initiate a trade? Can you turn around and log in, and can I buy 3M or IBM?
Why does that matter? Why do we want to know that?
Well, you want to know, can you actually change what I'm doing right now?
Right.
Maybe you want to reduce your technology footprint in your portfolio up to the upcoming interest rate announcement. That's what we're going to do.
Because he might say, well, no, Raymond James makes all the decisions for me.
He'll say yes, but we'll do it, I'll call it in or something like that. He'll punt on it, but most of them have never been trained on how to execute a trade. They don't know what a.
Yeah, that's pretty scary to me.
And then
so there's that. Well, what about, we talked about this before, asking about lower risk options, equities that pay dividends.
Yeah.
Like, how does a dividend work?
A dividend, it depends on where the dividend comes from. It comes from either margin, borrowed money, or it comes from their earnings. You really need to look at that.
Dishing out a little candy to their investors.
Yeah, you don't really want dividends being paid from debt.
Yeah.
But it's very common. Very, especially on the smaller, what's called small cap stocks, the mid cap stocks, very common. You really want it to come off the profit line a little bit. And so, and that's why the bond funds are doing so well in dividends right now, because they know they're going to have the markup on the yield of the treasury. But still, we need to talk about inverted yield curve. We didn't talk about
that. Right, yeah. Can you do that quickly?
An inverted yield curve is that when the shorter duration note, 5 years, is paying a higher yield than the 30-year. And it's been inverted all week now. We had it back in March. We had it back in late April.
Yeah.
And it just destroys your value stocks that pay dividends and a host of things. And so, in other words, a five-year note, I think it was Monday, was paying a 2.98 yield, the five-year note. But the 30-year was at 2.79.
Wow.
And so instead of a sloping yield you want, it was inverted coming
over.
Down.
Right.
And then we had to deal with that. And we saw big reductions in these charts over here, back here. That is late April, early June, which really we thought, what in the world is going on now? We've never had the inflation and then the inverted yield curve like that.
Yeah, it's bad.
And so it affects what you think can be safe. So you can't usually use safe on an equity, but to create balance and some dividends and stability, Barclays fell the worst it's ever fell in BlackRock's history.
Wow, really?
Almost 12%.
Wow.
And even the CEO said, wow, we've never seen that.
Scary stuff.
So, we have to dodge these things that we didn't see coming.
Right. Yeah, very, very challenging. And then last but not least, ask them, what's your position on cash? And why do we ask that question?
Because it's fine.
Yeah.
Get
your boat, get your sail out of the storm.
And until we see some tapering in these PPI indexes and CPIs, and the inflationary stuff and all these different things, I think just going very, very slowly.
It's okay to be safe.
There's no hurry to get in.
Yeah. I think that's a great point to end on.
There's no hurry to get in. Right.
And despite what you might hear on MSNBC or whatever, there's no way anybody could say this is over. Because it isn't.
No, it's too premature.
It's too premature. And until Joe Biden in the Biden administration and his liberal Congress changes energy policy, you're uphill. There's no way to do it. That has to change, doesn't it?
That you would start there.
You would start there. And if they're unwilling to start there, then we can't be all rosy. So be very slow and be very cautious. Ask those questions if you want to follow up.
And remember, God's still in control.
Yes,
amen. He's got this.
He still rules the universe.
Controls all things by the power of his word. He still has it.
That's right.
So we just have to work with
it. That's right. And this is a temporary setback for all of us that are in Christ. S. Lewis at LACapitalAdvisors.com. Thanks, buddy, for coming in. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.